as of the mid to late 1990s, fully 5,060% more ozone was being detected in Earth's middle atmosphere than was expected, even though pollution is expected to reduce ozone, not increase it. This area is above where the ozone holes are located. There are also more hydroxyl OH molecules appearing in Earth's upper atmosphere than conventional scientists can explain. Furthermore, strong emissions from atomic neon, argon, and xenon were seen in Earth's aurora, apparently for the first time, in 2001. Overall, Earth has been losing 3% of its sunlight per decade since the 1950s. There has been a 10% decrease in sunlight reaching Earth's surface in the last 30 years, and 15% over the last 50 years, showing that the effect is accelerating. This suggests that the atmosphere itself has become noticeably denser. Most scientists would expect the Earth to cool down as a result of a thicker atmosphere, not warm up, so this shocking finding went against all scientific thinking and was ignored as a result. The first reaction has always been that the effect is much too big, I don't believe it, and if it's true, then why has nobody reported it before? NASA announced in 2009 that over the last 25 years, noctilucent clouds in Earth's upper atmosphere are becoming more and more frequent, migrating down from the poles and shining brighter than ever before. This cannot be attributed to a change in temperature. An atmospheric scientist, Dr. Vincent Wickwar, said, "I suspect, as many of us feel, that it is global change, but I fear we don't understand it. It's not as simple as a temperature change." The oceans of the world have warmed significantly since the late 1940s, and interestingly, slightly less than half of the increase in heat content is occurring below 300 meters, roughly 900 feet. These rapid, unpredictable changes in temperature were previously thought impossible since sunlight cannot penetrate to these depths. These subsurface temperature changes can predict the behavior of surface weather several months later. There are temperature anomalies in the deepest levels of the Pacific Ocean that exhibit a slow, clockwise, circulating movement, and these deep temperature anomalies are neatly correlated with variations in solar energy output. This has allowed for the creation of a successful model to predict El Niño and La Niña events in advance. Earthquake activity also appears to have increased. A worldwide database system for reliably cataloging earthquakes was established by the United States Geological Service as of January 1, 1973. According to the USGS, 98% of earthquakes are less than a magnitude 3 on the Richter scale, and earthquakes greater than about magnitude 3 usually can be felt by people near the source area, and thus are easily detectable. For this same reason, it is unlikely that improvements in the technology or number of detection stations would cause a significant increase in the actual number of earthquakes that are reported above 3.0. Nonetheless, in 1973, there were 4,517 earthquakes above 3.0 on the Richter scale worldwide, and by 2003, there were 17,443. This represents a total of a 386% increase in earthquake activity above 3.0 between 1973 and 2003. Despite this significant, steadily increasing trend in earthquake activity, there is the obligatory USGS webpage that attempts to blame this on increases in the number of detection stations. However, a careful read reveals that this disclaimer document only discusses earthquakes larger than 7.0, creating a more easily manipulated data set of less than 20 events per year. If you have an eye for the politics, you can see how the USGS did not actually admit nor deny an overall increasing trend in earthquakes. All they truly said is that earthquakes of magnitude 7.0 or greater have remained fairly constant. This is actually good, because it means that the most damaging earthquakes are not increasing in frequency. Furthermore, an increase in our ability to locate earthquakes is only offered as a partial explanation for the public's frequent perception that earthquake activity is on the rise. Prior to 1998, Earth was gradually getting narrower at the equator and longer at the poles. However, from 1998 onward, this trend has reversed itself. Earth is bulging out at the equator and contracting in at the poles. Estimates of the weight loss caused by melting ice caps and glaciers are far too small to account for the magnitude of the effect. Anomalies in Earth's magnetic field suggest that a magnetic pole shift is already underway, and the models have no clear way of predicting exactly how soon this will complete itself. Interestingly, in March 2004, a hurricane was detected for the first time in the Earth's southern hemisphere. Global warming. The effects of climate change have become so obvious that the UN World Meteorological Association feels that the world must be made aware of these changes immediately, as the increase in temperature in the 20th century is likely to have been the largest in any century during the past 1,000 years. In addition, the 1990s are likely to have been the warmest decade of the last 1,000 years. The amount of water vapor in the atmosphere of the Northern Hemisphere has increased in the last 25 years. The average thickness of summer Arctic sea ice has decreased by 40% in the last 30 years. The average lake or river in the Northern Hemisphere will now have about 2 less weeks of ice cover per year than 100 years ago. Since 1966, the overall snow cover in the Northern Hemisphere has decreased by about 10%. Glaciers in the Argentina-Chile region are melting fully 200% faster in 2003 than in 1975. Even NASA has admitted that the Antarctic Peninsula has warmed 2 to 3 degrees Celsius, 3.6 to 5.4 degrees Fahrenheit, over the past 50 years, causing rapid thinning, enhanced melting, and rapid disintegration of its ice shelves. Lastly, since 1950, according to one estimate, some 600,000 plant and animal species have disappeared, and currently nearly 40,000 more are threatened. This is the fastest rate of extinction since the dinosaurs disappeared. 40% of all known species on Earth are now at risk of extinction. Somewhere between 2.7 and 270 species disappear every day. The most conservative estimate is that the current rate of extinction is 100 times greater than the background rate. But Harvard biologist Edward O. Wilson has calculated that the true rate may be as high as 10,000 times above the background level. Wilson predicts that half of all plant and animal species will be extinct by 2100. The local interstellar medium. Now, thanks to our study of the fossil record, combined with Tift's and Aspdin's models, it may be that all of the changes we have listed are caused by the solar system moving into a more highly charged area of energy in the galaxy. This appears to be directly affecting the behavior of our planets and their moons, showing an overall energetic increase as matter itself goes through a change of state and the flow of time speeds up at the quantum level. If we are indeed moving into such a new zone in the galaxy, then we would expect to see an increase in the amount of dust and energized particles in our local interstellar medium, which is the area of the galaxy immediately surrounding our sun's magnetic field. Dr. Don Szymanski, a NASA scientist, reveals that NASA has had a persistent, pernicious bias against anyone trying to do research on possible changes in the local interstellar medium. Does NASA know something that they would like to keep a secret from the public? Have they been quietly documenting this interplanetary climate change and putting the pieces together? Have they decided that humanity is too immature to handle the big picture? It is certainly possible. However, some of these studies have made it through the cracks. In 1993, a NASA probe detected ionized helium and extreme ultraviolet radiation in the local interstellar medium for the first time. This led astronomers to realize that the hot ionized gas of the local interstellar medium extends much farther than previously thought. In 2000, ESA and NASA reported steady increases in the density and temperature of helium in the outer areas of the sun's magnetic field. One scientist said, "It's not yet clear that the source of the helium is from the local interstellar medium, but we've done everything we can to remove sources within the sun's own magnetic field, and the density's still going up." He goes on to say, "A continued elevation would raise interesting questions about what's going on immediately outside our sun's sphere of influence." By 2003, the Ulysses probe measured dust in the interstellar medium at a factor of 4 to 5 larger, i.e., 400 to 500% more dust than what had previously been seen in ground-based observations, leading NASA JPL to suggest that there may be an enhancement of interstellar dust in the local interstellar medium. As of August 2003, an ESA and NASA experiment called DUST, launched with the Ulysses satellite in 1990, discovered that 300% more galactic dust streamed into the solar system between 2000 and 2003 than occurred throughout all of the 1990s. In 2009, NASA made a startling announcement about these ongoing changes in the local fluff outside our solar system. "The solar system is passing through an interstellar cloud that physics says should not exist. Using data from Voyager, we have discovered a strong magnetic field just outside the solar system. It is much more strongly magnetized than anyone had previously suspected, between 4 and 5 microgauss. NASA scientist Richard Muwalt announced that, in 2009, galactic cosmic ray intensities from outside the solar system have increased 19% beyond anything we've seen in the past 50 years. The increase is significant. In 2008, NASA announced that the sun's magnetic field, which extends well beyond Pluto's orbit, had shrunk by 25% in the last decade and was now at its lowest level since the beginning of the space race 50 years ago. NASA scientists were baffled by this, but if we are moving into a zone of higher pressure in the local interstellar medium, this could obviously compress the sun's magnetic field. Lastly, although scientists think it is purely coincidental, not part of any natural law, all the energy and dust clouds in the local interstellar medium are expanding outwardly, away from the center of the galaxy. For an observer at the sun, the interstellar wind seems to flow out from the central part of the galaxy, the Sagittarius area. This incoming energy does appear to have bioactive properties. In 2007, scientists from Arizona State University announced that Salmonella bacteria became 300% stronger after being flown in NASA's space shuttle Atlantis. Fully 167 different genes changed, making it 3 times more likely to cause disease. In 2008, it was announced that the Chinese were growing fruits and vegetables that were massive in size, such as 21-pound tomatoes, simply by flying the seeds through space first. Dr. James Spottiswood found that the Earth's alignment with the galaxy could create up to a 450% increase in psychic accuracy each day. Within 1 hour of 13 hours, 30 minutes local sidereal time, and the effect held true over 20 years worth of trials. The Darwinian model of evolution has been proven incorrect at every turn. What the fossil record shows is sudden, spontaneous changes from one form to another, like simple shellfish with external skeletons into complex bony fish with internal skeletons. No transitional fossils have been found for this and many other similar examples, like the transition from finned to limbed creatures. Furthermore, Drs. David Raup and John Sepkoski have discovered that these mass evolution events occur like clockwork every 26 million years in the fossil record, while Mueller and Rode found a 62 million year cycle. This appears to be caused by geometric forces in the galaxy, as we said. How could the simple presence of a higher frequency of galactic energy affect DNA? As we said in Chapter 10, Dr. Peter Garyayev was able to completely transform a frog embryo into a salamander embryo, causing a complete, fast-processing mutation without conventional gene splicing of any kind, using nothing more than a laser beam. In Garyayev's experiment, all that was required to transform DNA was a sufficient source of energy, in this case, a laser light. Now, in our entire solar system, a similarly great source of energy appears to be streaming in from the galaxy's own natural energy fields. It may be actively transforming Earth, the Sun, the planets, and their moons. Since we are living on the Earth, we might also be feeling the effects of this transformation through a transformation of consciousness as well as biology and physical matter. Dr. John Hawkes revealed genetic proof that human evolution is now moving 100 times faster than it was 5,000 years ago, with fully 7% of our genetic material having transformed during this time, and the rate is continually accelerating.